Having with us and joining us this morning, and Father's Day is different for many people. Some people grew up with great fathers. Some people grew up with mediocre fathers, and some people grew up with horrible fathers. And we all have a different experience of fatherhood in our lives. We look in the Word of God and we're shown the picture of the perfect Father, our Heavenly Father. And a lot of time the way that we see is sometimes murked a little bit by the experiences that we have in our own lives and how we see God, our Father. But God can change that, right? And God begins to open up to us what fatherhood truly is. And the Bible actually does say a lot about fathers, really does, about how we raise our children. And a lot of it is a mirrored image of who God our Father is. And so how God wants us to live our lives as fathers is often the way He treats us as our Father. And so this morning I'm going to be looking at the qualities of a good father. And you're saying, well then, Pastor Mike, I need to go because I'm not a father. And so I get the Sunday morning off now. Well, the truth is that as I look at the qualities of a good father, it also reminds us of who God the Father is in our lives too, right? And so it helps us understand who God is in our lives. And so fathers are an amazing part of how God created the family. And so I just want to share about that this morning. If you look in the dictionary under father, you can read the description and it's interesting, but there's something that is even more interesting. The word before father is fatigue. And I thought, man. And then you know how you can start doing all the spiritual applications to that? That's great. Fathers work hard and they're fatigued. Happy, fatigued Father's Day. But you look at the word afterwards and it's fathead. Okay, well maybe that doesn't work. Maybe it does work. Happy fatigue, father, fathead day, whatever it is. Father's Day, very much like Mother's Day, but you don't have to spend as much. God the Father was speaking to one of our forefathers, Abraham, in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Let's turn there. Genesis 18, verse 19. Genesis chapter 18. Chosen him so that he will direct his children, speaking to Abraham, and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Interesting, isn't it? We know of Abraham and we know of the great promise. We don't often think that one of the requirements in Abraham's life to see this promise come about is how he treated his children, how he raised his children and his household. It was very important to God. It is tremendously important as fathers and grandfathers how we raise our children, isn't it? It is tremendously important. I've been thinking about that for that last little while. We see God, our Heavenly Father, talking to Abraham, an earthly father who is known in many different ways. We have all kinds of fathers in this world. We have biological fathers, and we have stepfathers. We have fathers of all different kinds. But when we think of descriptions of fathers and we think of how complicated it can be at times, we also remember that we're human, that we make mistakes. But God, our Heavenly Father, doesn't make mistakes. We are imperfect, and we're not always going to do things the right way. That's why we need a Heavenly Father. We need our Heavenly Father. And the Bible gives us a description of qualities of a good father. And so becoming a father or a dad isn't always that difficult, but leading it in a biblical way can be a challenge. This morning I want to take a look at some things that I see in the Word of God that begin to describe a good father and a godly father. One of the first things I see is this, that is a godly father in their family will help light the way. They will teach their children. They will show them where to go. They will teach them. You know, there's one of the great commandments that we see in the New Testament. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your strength. Well, when Jesus was saying that, he was actually quoting from Deuteronomy. Isn't that interesting? It's way back in the Old Testament. When you read that in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, it goes on and says this. And there's no stop of the sentence and a beginning of another thought. This is all one thought. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. And do this. These commands I give you today that are to be on your heart. Now, what are you supposed to do with them? Impress them on your children. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. Right? Love the Lord your God with everything you have and impress that on your children. Teach your children. Light the way for them. Show them where a godly man lives and how he's supposed to live. And God is telling fathers here that we have a responsibility to teach our children. And he tells us how to do it. He gives this command to us for our children. He says, whenever you sit down, when you walk along the road, when you lie down to sleep, when you get up, any chance that you get, find a way to continue to teach your children and impress who God is on their lives. Love the Lord God with all your heart. Right? Sometimes when I lie down, I just want to lie down. The kids are jumping on top of you. Impress the love of God in your lives. When you sit down, when you're walking along the road, there'll be times where you're just walking along. Maybe it's with a grandchild you're walking along. Impress on them God's love. Maybe you're walking with your children. Impress on them God's love. Find those opportunities, right? In everything that you do. Teaching continues every day. All day, isn't it? We have them for a short time. We've got many grandparents here today. We have them for a short time. It doesn't mean that our influence doesn't stop there. We still influence our grandchildren and our children wherever they are. But as moms and dads who have their children at home, find every opportunity you can to impress the love of God in their lives and teach them about this. You have a purpose in this life. To teach your children God's love. Amen?
Amen?
There's a proverb we've all heard of. Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And time again, we're taught to teach our children and to bring them to that place. It is one of the most important things a father can do and parents can do with their family. Teach your children to love Jesus. That is our first priority. Amen? That is our first priority. Teach your children. There is a National Center for Fathering in the United States, and they said this. They said, kids observe everything. They observe your lives. The greatest revelation of being a parent is how much those children will observe. And that's something that we as parents sometimes underestimate, is how much they're watching us. And I believe as grandparents, this is true too. Your grandchildren watch you. Your children watch you. Wherever we are, they are watching us. And we are an influence on them. And we need to teach them. Secondly, a father is a leader. God has placed the father as a leader in the house. The scripture states that our Heavenly Father is explaining to Abraham to lead. He even tells them how to lead it by keeping the way of the Lord and by doing what is right. This is by doing what is just and right. If we read that scripture again in Genesis 18, where I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what? By doing what is right and just. We lead by doing what is right and just, living the way that God called us to live. A father leads by example. I love the example that Joshua said when we listen to the scripture in Joshua chapter 24. It says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How many people have that scripture up in your house somewhere? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A father is a big part of leading that, isn't it? But it is a choice in how we lead. Another godly characteristic that I see in fathers that God wants us to live. Godly fathers discipline. Godly fathers discipline. They don't punish or abuse. They discipline. There is a time where discipline seemed very abusive at times. And that's true, that may happen. But there's discipline. And so the pendulum in our culture now has swung the other way. We may have been a little bit too strong on one side, but now we're not doing anything over here anymore, right? Well, the children will figure it out by themselves. I don't want to squash their spirit animal or whatever it is that's kind of going on inside them, right? It's true. You hear that. People are very serious about it. But God is very clear that we are to discipline our children. My son, Proverbs 3:11, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects. And as a father, if we love our children, we will correct and we will discipline. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. In Hebrews chapter 12, we see that again, and talks about that for a long time. It's hard to believe that when you are small and you were a kid, you think back to when you're 3 or 4 or 5, you can remember when your parents disciplined you, that was love. Mm-hmm. But we all look back on it now and we know that it was true. We know the difference between that discipline. And like I said, it's not about being abusive or punishing in that sense. It's about discipline. And I don't really have time to go into the difference of all that. But we need to learn the difference between that, and we need to learn how to discipline properly and to love our children. One is done with love. The other is done out of anger. Right? And we need to discipline out of love. God disciplines us out of love. And that's what he does in each one of our lives. And so we see that. A godly father will lead and will discipline. And we'll show the way. A godly father has compassion on his children. The psalmist says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. In Psalms 103, for he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. As children, we need teaching, we need discipline, we need leadership. Yes, we need those things. A father that leads, a father that disciplines, a father that teaches. But a father that is full of compassion too. Amen? Mm-hmm. We need a compassionate father. We have a compassionate heavenly father who is full of grace. Amen? Mm-hmm. And God wants us to image who he is also. And we need fathers who will put their arms around their sons and their daughters and hug them and care for them and love them and even cry with them at times. Amen? I think we need more of this in our lives. They need to know that we care and that we feel their pain or we feel the things that they go through and that they know that they're cared for, someone that is there. As a man, You know, we don't want to look soft. We've been kind of taught this. Now, this has also been changing, too. But God has called us to be compassionate also. Jesus was a compassionate man. When we look at the life of Jesus, we see a compassionate man. One who wept over the lost. One who brought in the children. And so we listened to our Heavenly Father. Another godly character that I see. A godly father is there. Is present. When I think of God, our Father, He is always with me. Amen? He is always there. Listen to our Heavenly Father and how He says He's always with us. Then I say to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, He will fight for you according to all He did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where He saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. God is there with you. As a matter of fact, when Jesus went up to heaven, in Matthew chapter 28, it says, and He gives us the great commission, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God is with us. And as a father, we are to be with our children and spend time with them. Now, we physically can't do that all the time, can we? So there is a balance in that. And so we pray and we say, God, you be with my children. God, you are the Heavenly Father. You be with my children. But we are there for them. As grandparents, we might not always be living in the same house, but we can always be there for our children and our grandchildren, can we? We can always be somewhere where we can tell them we're praying for you, we're lifting you up. Is there anything that you need? If they will ask to come back and live in your house, say no. A godly father will do that. A godly father provides for his children. A godly father will provide for his children. He may not provide all their wants or all their desires. As a matter of fact, I find myself saying all the things that they're, no, you can't have that. No, you can't have that. No, you can't have that. No, we're not. We just, yesterday we went out and had popcorn and McDonald's food, and then they're asking for ice cream. No, you can't have that, right? And you know how bad all that food is where you are? Can't have it. But we do provide for them. The Bible says, and now this is an interesting verse that we don't always read in church all the time, because it seems a little bit harsh. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and he is worse than an unbeliever. Right? God asked us to provide. You think, well, that's pretty harsh for someone who's not providing something materially. No, he's not. He didn't say providing money. Provide. Giving your household and the ones around you what they need. The love, encouragement, support, all these other things that we're talking about, leadership, teaching, and all these different things. And it also includes providing for them too. Providing for them as much as you possibly can. And so there it is. We have an obligation as families, not just to provide material or financial needs, but to provide what God has called us to give to each one of them. When we listen to Jesus describing our Heavenly Father, and then he compares his to an earthly father. He says this in Matthew chapter 7. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask? And so we provide. Jesus provides for us. As earthly fathers, we are to provide for our children and our families. And one last thing I want to share. As a father, we need to love our children. Love. And this is where all the other things kind of flow out of, right? How we discipline, how we love, how we teach, and our love for God. A father needs to love his children. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love suffers long and is kind, that love does not envy, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, and it goes on. Love. We need to know what that means. And it's more than just bringing a paycheck home and saying, here, I love you, right? But there are ways that we show love to our children. Maybe it's spending time with them. Maybe it's verbally telling them, I love you, and I care for you. Maybe it's whatever, giving them a hug. It's not always easy to be a father or a parent. And it never really has been. But God does give us direction in the Word of God. To teach them, to lead them, to show the way in that, to discipline, and to live the lives that God has called us to live. And so we do our best. We lift our families up in prayer. We need to teach them about God. Yesterday afternoon, Linda and I were folding laundry in our bedroom because we need a big surface for all the laundry that we have, six children. So we're folding laundry and we've been busy over the last few weeks. And it was Abe and Izzy were in there and they were helping us fold laundry. And it's been on Linda's heart and it's been up in my heart too that we try to have family devotions. We sit down and we read a Bible story or something out of scripture and we talk about it a little bit. And we go around, we ask for prayer requests, and we all pray together. Because as a father, we teach, and we lead, and show example. We haven't done that for a few weeks. Because we've just been busy. And I know I was starting to feel bad about it, and Linda was too, and it was Abe and Izzy that said, you know, we've been reading our Bible on our own because we're not doing it together as a family anymore. Right? And I know that Linda and my heart just sank a little bit because we know that God has been speaking to us and saying, you need to make it a priority, right? And it's so easy. You're working and running around and doing things and get home. And by the time you make supper and then there's a pile of dishes and you want to do the dishes and before you know it, it's time to get the kids to bed and you get the kids to bed and you think, oh, maybe we'll do the devotions tomorrow. And you know, in time and time after that, we have an opportunity in this life to be an influence on our children and our grandchildren. And we get one shot at it. So make it a first priority. Amen? Amen. Spend that time. Do those devotions. Pray with your children. Teach your children. When you're sitting down, when you're lying down, when you're walking down the road, put it on the doorposts of your house, put it up on your wall, and show that light to your children. And let God do it in your heart. I don't know how that works with you. Maybe you have children at home. Maybe your children have grown and there's grandchildren. Maybe you haven't had children yet, but they're on their way. Whatever stage you are in life, you can still be an influence in that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the example that we see in the Word of God. Thank you that you are the perfect Heavenly Father in our lives, Lord Jesus. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us in so many different ways how to be a godly father, how to be a godly mother, how to be a godly influence in other people's lives, Lord. On this Father's Day, Lord, we want to say, forgive me, Lord Father, for times where, Lord, we have failed. But, Lord, encourage us, Lord Father, to continue to do what you have called me to do. And, Father, we pray that you would just continue to do that in each one of our hearts, Lord. Father, thank you for the example that we see in you. And may we continue to live that in each one.